Greetings and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind at Believer City Church here in Menominee. I'm Pastor Tim and I'm the lead preaching pastor at Believer's Church. Each week we gather here to rewind our Sunday message, and we do it this time in small group discussions with small groups meeting throughout Dunn County and even beyond. If you're local, you are no doubt tuned to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're further away, you might be tuned to our radio internet feed, or maybe even our radio broadcast, maybe even on our local TV. No matter how you get here, we're glad you are here. Our message this week is entitled Stuck, with a text out of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 13. Let's get into it.
When we began, so many of us, as Christians, as believers, for many of us, it was all about being on fire and being sold off of Christ. And we remember. That language kind of suggests a hard and fast and relentless discipleship. Indeed, there is nothing wrong with zeal. There certainly isn't anything wrong with intensity. The Apostle Paul, while writing to Christians in Rome, said in Romans 12:11, he says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Not usually the material that is brought up in church pulpits in America, because frankly, most of us simply don't want to know that God. I think we can often think that in every situation that we come across, that God will always cut us some slack. Because, you know, we know He loves us, and indeed He does. You need to know that today. However, I think we tend to rather use the yardstick of worldly love in such times of crisis. And that yardstick of worldly love then provides for us boundless patience and you know, immeasurable kindness and leniency and inexhaustible tolerance. But let me tell you this morning that that mistaken position can be deadly. I think as Christians this morning, this is certainly just me to you this morning, but I think as Christians, the alarms should go off in all of us when we use language of, "I can't," "we can't," whatever the reason. "I can't serve Him because I'm unable to serve Him because I really want to live for Him, but I can't because..." Alarms should go off anytime that that is used, because I'm here today to tell you that there's no room for that in a believer's life, because you don't own you no more. Not if you're a born-again believer. We don't get our ice cream cone from God, we stomp away in a huff. Because ultimately, we want what we want, and frankly, we'll burn down the village to get it. And we will stand aghast when God says no. And instead of humility, we exude rather hubris in these situations. Unless we surrender, I promise you, you will eventually be in that situation that Elijah was in. You will eventually take that spiritual high road that Elijah took. There he was standing in the cave. There he was hiding away. And what position did he take? "Oh, I have been so zealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. I'm the last man standing." Now you may say, "Come on, Pastor. Seriously? Who would want hell?" Well, hell, we know, is a terrible place, but it has one important attribute. that seems to be, at least in our culture today, a rather coveted commodity. And what is that commodity? Well, it is a place away from God. That's what the Bible tells us about. A place away from God. So that's the hotel that we book into when we don't want God's rule, when we don't want God's presence, a God priority, and a plan for our lives. That is our choice. We parked ourselves there, and indeed, He will give us what we ask for. We can either have a full life with Him, one that you were created for, or a life apart from Him. Look, this morning, if you're a believer, if you're truly a born-again Christian, you know that the authentic Christian life is a process. We'd love to snap our fingers and be finished. But it's a progression. It's a moving forward. It's steadily improving and transforming. But sometimes it might feel like our progression has just stopped. Now, how do you know these thoughts are ungodly? Because Scripture says the opposite of these things. You have to decide who you're going to believe. So as true followers of Christ, we are called to stand up and act against any of these things that stop you from spiritual progress. And I'm not painting you a rosy picture today. I'm not saying there's any magic incantation or secret prayer to pray. No, I'm here to tell you it's going to be tough, and you're going to have to stand up, plant your feet, and lean in. You didn't get here overnight, and you're not going to get back out overnight. It wasn't easy getting in here, and it ain't going to be easy getting back out. But the Holy Spirit is on our side. But we have to stop this claim that we're somehow a victim.
While the greater church today seems to be so much dealing with the wholesale exodus of people from the faith, I think in the midst of that, we can oftentimes fail to notice a rather secondary blight within the ones who remain. For untold numbers of church-going folks today are, for all practical purposes, stuck. They are stuck in the muddle of this world, the tangle of this life. They are distracted with other gods. They are preoccupied with the things of this life and, moreover, the things of their life. And the call and the mission of God has simply taken a backseat to the seek first the kingdom of God that Scripture tells us is the true and authentic faith. Perhaps this latter ailment, the ultimate church departure, has much more to do with the former, much more with people departing from the church in general than we might think. Certainly there is plenty of blame to go around. Indeed, the churches and the pastors themselves are often guilty of painting an easy believism, a modern Jesus light version of authentic saving faith. Then there is the greater social paradigm which we live in today that was reinvented, if you will. They reinvented Jesus in this, quasi-Gandhi-esque liberal that exists to simply channel endless love and endless support no matter what one's lifestyle is. And then, of course, there is the church people themselves. They, which clearly have embraced all of this, having decided that while they want God's blessing, and they certainly want eternal life, they also will not be denied the worldly pleasures that the rest of the temporal world is currently enjoying. So, what do? Well, they simply go to church on Sunday so they can have both. Except, it doesn't work that way, and deep down we know that already. Ultimately and eventually, the road runs out of pavement and we find ourselves out in the gravel and in the mud, finally stuck in life's muck. Now, Elijah here in 1 Kings was one of those guys. The account here tells us clearly that his predicament can come to any of us. I mean, if it can happen to Elijah, then none of us stand outside of this danger. After all, Elijah was one of those guys who was clearly moving the world. He was at one time a man to be feared by the other side. And yet, our text this week tells us that we find him languishing in hiding, lamenting about how faithful and committed he believed himself to be. And while seemingly blind to the reality that he was actually hiding out in a cave, God came to him and asked him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I think many of us are in that same boat today. We too, like Elijah, we're stuck, and God is asking, "What are you doing here?" And sadly, many of us have been so stuck for so long that we even no longer see our lives as odd or out of the norm. For those folks, you know, this thing they're living, this is Christianity. After all, it's been years now and, you know, no forward movement, no growth, no maturity, no challenge, no awe, no adventure, no mission. I mean, we just doze in our pews and another Sunday passes under the bridge. Often, when in such a state of life, we know, at least deep down, we know that something's wrong. But man, we are loath to admit it to anyone. And we are certainly slow to seek spiritual medical help because partly we aren't sure we really want any assistance because we seem to just know that whatever assistance they give us, that cost is just going to be high, frankly, too high. And we seem to desperately need a good spiritual image amongst our churchmates, and so we don't really want it to get out that there's a chink in our armor, so best to just keep our mouths shut rather than to open up that can of worms. But there's still that still small voice, that one that keeps whispering in the night, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" And like many of us, Elijah, again, he wasn't always in that state of being. We need to realize that. Once again, Elijah was at one time out on the front lines, and he was a feared spiritual warrior. But along the way, despite even these great victories he experienced, even then along the way, Elijah at some point became fearful. He at some point became self-absorbed. Elijah lost his way. And as I said earlier, it can happen to any of us. It can happen for multiple reasons. And Satan, well, he always seems to know just what buttons to push. Now, the reasons why Elijah was in that cave, reasons why we might be in that cave today, they really matter very little. And those reasons are generally without any merit anyway. So here we are, stuck. Now, one of the ways that we are stuck is we can get stuck in survival mode. You know, things have been tough. We're just trying to hold our own these days. It's a rough patch in life. We're trying to just stay standing. And the devil, well, he tells us that if we tell anyone, well, they'll just think we're an idiot. So what do? We hide. We find ourselves a cave and we hide. Now, another reason we get stuck is because we're in that sweet spot. That sweet spot, that time wherein life is pretty good, right? And for heaven's sakes, if that's the case, well, don't anybody move an inch, right? I mean, why rock the boat? Why shake the tree? Reality is, we just want to lay here in the sun for a while and not push things for fear we're going to lose this mow and then we'll return to harder days. But guys, you will return to harder days. And when you do, you're going to be unable to handle it. You should have capitalized on those days of calm, on those days of preparation for, you know, sure days of difficulty. They're going to return. That's called life. Maybe you're stuck in fear or stuck in comfort. That's another reason we get stuck. I mean, you want to do something about your state, but man, you look at it and it just looks hard, right? It looks so costly. I just know innately that if I move on this state of life, I'm gonna undoubtedly have to sacrifice and put forth some effort. And I'm just not sure I'm up for that. And lastly, maybe you're stuck today because you're just stuck in discouragement. I don't know, life is just not going the way you had it planned, right? I mean, God kept saying he had a plan, but hey, he was vague on the specifics, so you know you couldn't risk that, right? So somehow you dismissed that teaching along the way, wherein we are to die to this world and to die to this life, and that just apparently blew over our heads. And then the surrounding and the surrendering of that life to Christ in its totality as a slave and as a disciple, I don't know, we apparently missed that. Look, the fact is, unless we turn it all over to Jesus, there will remain a battle in us, and it will actually be a battle that we're going to lose twice. Twice, because first you're going to lose that battle in this life, and then you're going to ultimately lose it in eternity. We have to stand strong, but strong in his strength and in his care. I mean, no guarantees. I'm not here today to give you any kind of warranty as to what God will do, but our hearts must be that of Job, who said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet I will follow. We need to recognize the ungodly patterns in our life, the strongholds of the enemy, and we need to move on them with fierce resolve. For such powers over us, man, they can be devastating, they can be dramatic. So what I'm saying to you is what we're dealing with this evening is not a call for us to tweak the knobs a little, but rather to roll a spiritual grenade into the room. Now we can, you know, we can stay in our cave and we can, you know, we can certainly whine about how we are a victim. Or we can embrace the promise of Christ to give us a new life and step up. Because if you're truly a born-again Christian today, you are a new creature. You aren't the person that you were anymore. You are new. You are in his hands now. And if that's the case, it's simply time to get out of the cave, Christian.